Welcome to the Geeks Roundtable Podcast with Ryan Scherer, Fabio Caffaro, and David Brown. Join us every Thursday at 1 Pacific, 4 Eastern to learn all the geeky goodness from PPC, SEO, dev, design, security, and much, much more. Visit geeksroundtable.com today.
And welcome to another episode of Geeks Roundtable. This is your host, David Brown, and I'm joined today by Lizzie Brown. And
hello.
Ryan should be calling in here very shortly. He's not in yet, but he will be here very shortly. He was on the road today, so hopefully we can make that work. How you doing, Lizzie?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. Don't worry about me, though. I'll get better. So we have some good stuff to talk about. That's one of the things I love about this industry is it's constantly growing. There's always something to talk about. We have search and social happenings we're going to talk about today. There's quite a bit of stuff that's come up. I know, Liz, you posted a really great article yesterday about content marketing, and you are a content marketing specialist at Matrix, so figured we could talk about that a little bit at the front of the hour, and then I'll get into all my geeky goodness, and hopefully Ryan will join us, and I'm really over the top excited about talking about IFT. It's I-F and then three T's, and it's pronounced like gift without the G. So IFT, if this, then that. Very excited to see what we can do with this, and I really wish I'd been playing with it more in 2014. Anyways, we'll hop into that.
Yeah, I'm excited to learn a little bit more about that myself.
Yeah. So you just produced a really great piece of content, and then we used another SEO firm's
infographic
as well to illustrate the purpose. So I know we spoke about this briefly the last time you were on, and it's always hard when there's four of us on the call, but right now it's just the two of us. So I did sit through SEO Dojo's content marketing deal the other day, and no offense to any of them, I didn't pick up a lot of stuff. I did ask about, you know, Outbrain and Taboola, who's been using it, what do you guys know about it? Deborah Massaller said she has friends that have used it, and they love it. We've used it quite a bit and have had great success with it. Taboola, not so much. They're a little bit more the TMZ side of things, if you will. So, you know, the really crazy headlines and whatnot. And it depends. If you have a client in that vertical, then Taboola is probably your best bet there. So in the content marketing world, when we write pieces of content, we're obviously doing our keyword research ahead of time. What are some great terms that we can get our clients ranking for? And then how do we go about doing that? How do we create a piece of content to do that? Tell a story, keep readers engaged, keep the time on site, the average page views high, things of that nature.
Right.
So, you know, we've done quite a few of these, and I don't know if that ties in at all to your article. I did read it. I'm just blanking because I've probably read about 50 articles since. So you want to give us just a brief overview of your...
Well, it definitely ties into the article. I don't think I touched on that with the keyword index so much as the redundant use of keywords or keyword stuffing. You read an article, and clearly, especially in our line of work, you can tell when someone has stuffed an article with keywords. Another thing I've seen in some content, probably more on the TMZ-ish side of it, is misspelling things. It has a better keyword index, but it looks sloppy. It looks uneducated, illiterate, and sloppy. You don't want to do that. You want to produce
right.
good quality content. So when I come across that, it's an eye roll. You know, and I move on.
Well,
those kinds of things.
You know, on Reddit,
crazy.
Though, you're also a Redditor. And you know that one of the side effects of being on Reddit is if you pretend like you accidentally misspelled something, you're going to rank higher.
Right.
And well, we've tested that, right? And
We have
it's
tested
kind
that.
of ridiculous. You're like, oh, they don't know what they're doing. We'll give them an upvote, right?
Right.
So.
Or if people click in more out of curiosity on the misspell, whereas someone like me who deals with content all day, not only creating it but editing it, it drives me insane to see. And I did run a personal test, not with a client, but my own personal test on Reddit, and sure enough, it did bring in some extra clicks and upvotes. So, and
Right.
I and for me, it drives me crazy to come across that. Another thing that will turn me off of an article, there might be some great information in there, but if you're stammering over trying to make your point by using excessive filler words or words that create doubt, like maybe, perhaps, could, if you're not sold on what you're trying to sell me, how do you expect me to be sold on it, you know?
Yeah, good point.
Coming across misspelling and grammatical errors, bad punctuation, obviously. And I've seen that. I've seen that here on some local news. I mean, news networks, cable news networks even, where I'm reading their content online and I think to myself, who is editing this? Just simple misspellings and grammatical errors will drive me nuts. I'm guilty of making some of these mistakes.
Right.
But when I,
Well, a lot of times our content goes through multiple editors and CopyScape and all that other good stuff. But and I always and you said something to me earlier today. Stop pretending like you're not a good writer. It's not anything to do with being a good writer or not. I speak in my voice. I've been doing this for a long time online, and anybody that's read anything I've written over the years has kind of come to expect, well, this is how Dave writes, you know. So on the one hand,
that's
I know
true.
my English teacher is probably doing somersaults in her grave, but God rest her soul, she died 2 weeks ago. I went to her funeral. She was an awesome, awesome lady. That was my senior advanced teacher, so very cool gal. I do not consider myself to be a writer. I consider myself to be very vocal on a lot of different, I have opinions on everything. So that being said,
I would
I know that I
probably go ahead and add that you're the rant master,
right.
for
Well,
sure.
and that's probably because things, unless I get agitated about something and I'm tired of hearing this. If I ever hear again, how many characters are too many characters for a title tag? Go look at any one of your titles. Do a site colon your domain dot com or dot org or dot net or dot whatever, and hit enter in Google. And if you see a truncated, meaning that it's been cut off because it's too long, it goes past Google's amount. I think it's 84 or 85 or 86. I have no idea. It's somewhere in the 80s. But Google could have changed their mind this week, and it could be something different. Count the letters and the spaces, and as soon as you see the dot, 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 that is where Google says that's the amount. I don't keep a running tally of that going on my whiteboard. Oh, it's 84 today, it's 82, or it's 76, or it's 94. It's such a moot point. Write a compelling title. Some companies are adamant. Well, we have to have a company branded name first and then the title of the article. That's great. People may not necessarily be looking for your company when they're searching for an answer. And we've had this discussion several times. People are using Google like a magic eight ball now. So years ago on SEO 101, Brian and I were talking about this, and that's when the long tail term came in. So, and I'm sure people are probably getting tired of hearing this story, but for shits and grins, Brian and I decided to rank for tool and tools, the singular and the plural. Well, Tool's a band. It's one of Melanie's favorite bands. One of my favorite bands as well.
Yeah, they're a great band.
Yeah, we ended up ranking number one in the world for Tool and Tools. The problem with that was we had the CFO of the company, Tool Barn, which is a two-time Inc. 500 company while we were working with them 10 years ago. They started off in like a little 1,500, 2,000 square foot brick and mortar in the middle of Omaha and became the third largest retailer of Makita tools, only third place to Lowe's and Home Depot. That was great. However, when you're doing a search for tool and tools, our conversion rates drop through the floorboard, and that's something that our CTO or CFO, Chief Financial Officer, actually was looking at and saying, whoa, the bottom's falling out of this. Our rates are dropping, they're dropping. Well, as soon as we started ranking for tool and tools, we got a bunch of basically useless traffic. And going through our server logs, we could see people showing up for dental tools, horseshoeing tools. Those are completely useless searches for toolbarn.com when all they sell is contracting tools, right?
Right, right.
And I still remember the long tail term we did, 70% conversion rate, which is freaking huge, right? The Makita
right.
HG1100 heat gun. You can use this for, adhesives and whatnot with your laminate and your tile and this and that and the other thing. Well, the heating engine inside of this is good for about, 1,500, 2,000 hours. When it goes out, it's dead. There's no replacing that part. You just need to buy a new Makita HG1100 heat gun. Not saying it's a poor product or anything, just saying that it's, we knew because that was our company we were working for. This is something that we need to put in front of people. So, that converted like mad, because what ended up happening is you have a contractor in Kansas City that, I got half the laminate laid and my heating element went out. I need a new one of these overnight aired to me like that. And if you can do it at the same price as Home Depot or Lowe's or better than their offer, great. So we did very well with that. However, Tool and Tools, a lot of people were looking for the band. band dates, when are they going to play their next concert? I want to get tickets, things of this nature. And we've talked a lot about RDFA and event codes is one of the nice things you can do in resource description framework through attributes. That's one of those, well, we don't have that up, because we're obviously not representing the band. So, that's one of those. It can be kind of a PETA or pain in the ass, however you look at it. yeah. So I'm rambling.
Yeah.
Feel free to cut me off. Ryan's still
like
not
I,
on,
yeah,
but
like,
should be here.
No, I just went ahead and let you make my point about that rant master. Now, not all rants have to be nasty or angry, but you can go. You've got stories and
right.
You're winded. And that ties that right back into what I said earlier about quit pretending that you can't write. It probably is in part that I know you. And when I'm reading, I hear you. However, that being said, with the exception of your dot, dot, dots, that drives me crazy when articles are submitted to me. And that's poor punctuation because that is writing like you're speaking. And not actually writing like you would in an English course. But I just fix those
right.
and move on. That being said, though, I mean, you're certainly knowledgeable and very creative. I enjoyed your article on the case for the cryptocurrency. So,
mm-hmm.
And I had little to do with that. So, anyways, back to the article that I had just written about content, I was looking at the content convert search, and the number is saying that 52% of consumers that visit a website are impacted with their decision making on purchases, 52% by the blog content alone. So
right.
when people, yeah, so when people are, well, why do I have to have a blog, a tool site, or any website? You may not see the value in it, but 52%, the numbers don't lie. That's over half of the people who are making purchases on your website attributing that purchase to the content of the site, making it very important to put out quality content. I liked what you had said when we had a conversation yesterday about what exactly constitutes as quality content, not recycled content, or content built just for links. And nobody really came forth and explained what quality meant. So do you have any insight as to what you would suggest is quality in regards to content?
Oh, I have lots of thoughts on that. And actually, this is one of the reasons, and I've said this for well over a decade now, part of the reason why you don't see me blogging in the SEO space on a regular basis is because Barry Schwartz, Danny Sullivan and his entire team, Lauren Baker and the team, Melissa Fatch, all those people at Search Engine Journal, Search Engine Land, Search Engine Roundtable, they're on top of this, for lack of a better term, like a fat girl on a brownie. As soon as something new happens, boom, there's an article. And I'm one of those people that I want to digest it, do a little bit of testing, and then come back and say something. But, you know, and I won't say that they're all right all the time, because there are times when they're, that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But, that's from my own information, because I'm the one testing this stuff. Our team is testing this stuff. Copy Blogger puts out a lot of really great content. A lot of these companies put out really great content. So I often feel like giving my opinion on already published content is kind of like just doing a search for the biggest thing that happened in SEO this week, and now here, let me give you my 2 cents. How do I put that into 500 plus words? I'm basically reiterating everything that you've already said, and it's fine to have multiple opinions. Otherwise, multiple newspapers wouldn't exist, right? Op-ed pieces. You know what I mean? So,
absolutely different perspective.
The problem is when I'm agreeing with most of what was said, 90% of this was spot on, but through my personal experience, this was slightly different, and I think this could be done better. What am I adding to the conversation? So I think the biggest problem right now in content marketing, granted, we're all on schedules, have to get content out at regular frequencies. How do you say the same thing over and over and over and over, yet inform people, don't go against Google's terms of service, Terry said at the end of the content deal on SEO Dojo the other day, be creative. I was like, that's exactly what we're here to do as marketers, right? Being creative.
Right.
Finding a better way to show you, I hadn't thought of it this way. We just framed the story in a way that touched you and made the proverbial cartoon light bulb go off over the top of your head. Oh my gosh, this is a great idea. You know what? We could take it one step further and do, this is exactly how we're doing it. This is how we're being successful. Share, help. You know what I mean? That,
I do.
That to me constitutes good content. So,
agree with you. And a lot of content that you come across. Absolutely. He's not joking, guys. That actually makes you think. You had to throw that word out there, I know. That's an inside joke. Anyways, that actually it brought me to maybe my own little sidetrack or rant, where when I was in college, I had this one professor that would be the creative content on on education. So go to school like that's your website. And every other class I had was just recycled information. I had a $200 textbook that I didn't even need to open because the lecture was verbatim, PowerPoint slides, pictures of the book, and just straight through. Not creative, not engaging, dull. I've already come across the information. You're not teaching me anything new, and you're not putting it into any way that's going to engage me and get my attention and get excited about what you're trying to teach me. Whereas this one professor who I still am in contact with was very creative. The way we had lectures that had to do with what we had read, but there was no PowerPoint slides. There was games that we played, more philosophical approach with the questions, the what ifs, the whys, and just really pondering on things. And I took more away from those classes than any other class. So when I approach writing, see, I'm off on my tangent. I guess tangent would be a more fitting word than rant. But
I go off on
from my perspective, yeah. That's you're the tangent master. I'd like to retract my previous statement and go ahead and give you that title.
I appreciate that. I think I've already been called out a couple of times before previously.
Yeah. So
regardless.
So when I'm approaching content, and it does get redundant, and it is hard sometimes, especially when you have written content revolving around the same subject matter over and over and over again. How do you make this fresh? How do you make this engaging and creative? And I always put myself in the place of that professor trying to engage my readers. I don't know if I'm successful 100% of the time, but that's where my motivation, focus, and drive is, because I want my content to be read. I don't want it to fall by the wayside or not be noticed. What am I spending my time writing it for if no one's going to read it and share it on social media avenues or... You know,
writing BS content just to get a link back to your client's site is not only redundant, but you're not doing your clients any favors. So a lot of times, and that's why I've always said, you know, AppSumo or it was BuzzSumo. That's a great one. So any of you listening right now, check out BuzzSumo. You can do 10 or 15 searches a day for free or something like that. Sign up for an account. They'll send you some emails, whatever, yada, yada. If you're serious about your business, it's probably worth it to go ahead and pick that up. But you can do it for free. And you can look at terms that you think would be good head terms or mass terms for your company and see what articles were searched. You know, 15 celebrities you didn't know were doing this. I equate that to, and I don't do the shopping. No one usually does the shopping, but I've been through, I shop on occasion. When you're going through and you're standing in line and you see these headlines, it makes you want to pick it up and start to read some more. And, you know, if the guy in front of you is quick and isn't writing out a check or trying to fax in a check from 1989, you can't read it. It's just, you know what, here, just scan it, I'll buy it. Granted, print ads go in the way of the dinosaur, as most of you know. That brings me to another idea, the innovative ideas for telephone books, booster chairs, et cetera, doorstops, et cetera, et cetera. There's people that have all kinds of articles written about that, what you can do with a phone book. I get six of them delivered per year, haven't used a single one. Anywho, the point being, you know, you can look at those types of headlines and go, if I were trying to write something for my company or my business, and I wanted somebody in a grocery checkout line to go, wow, this looks too good not to click on and read, use some images. We've been doing a lot of image research, and we're getting a lot longer on-site time. Because people will stare at images if they think it's funny or cool or interesting.
They might also get you a social share. People want to share the images.
Exactly. And we all know that average time on site is important, which I should just real briefly mention. We've been looking a lot into the Pinterest shares, and we have a client now that's doing about 7,000 unique visits per month on Pinterest. And the traffic, I know the age demographic is mostly female, mostly younger female, and it's not our target demographic for this particular client. That traffic doesn't convert very well at all. And we do have good calls to action and things of that nature. As it turns out, that Pinterest traffic is kind of a PETA, because it sullies all of the other numbers from organic and direct and PPC and all that other good stuff. So, again, off on a tangent, but
go ahead.
Yeah. But let's wrap up the content marketing. Let's give the listeners a couple of things they can do today to make their content marketing better.
Well, I would say we've covered the first and foremost, the content needs to be creative, engaging, and not recycled. You need to put your own mindset, your own words into the content. And I've read some articles recently about don't be afraid to try new things, writing it from a different perspective, writing it from your own, throwing humor into it, depending on what you're selling or marketing or what your website revolves around, what kind of humor you might use, but use it. People love to laugh. Another important
humor's
aspect.
Huge.
Yeah, humor is huge.
And
humor
terrible.
Will keep me on. Absolutely. I love to laugh. Right. Thank God I've got Dave around me all the time. I laugh daily. It's therapy. It puts you in a better mood. You're smiling throughout the day. And absolutely, when you have that feeling, you want to share it. So, yes, absolutely, humor is shareable. The other thing being consistency. You can't have a blog or news feed on your site and only post to it once a month, or you post to it Tuesday at 1 o'clock 1 week and Thursday at 4 o'clock the next week. It needs to be scheduled and consistent at least twice a week. Quick Google search will give you an idea of the best times to publish that content, where people are reading that type of content during the week. And when it is shared on different social media venues, because those are all different. And,
right.
What is it you always say, Dave, that you want to keep your frequency set so that you train the Google bot like Pavlov's dog? Google comes back and calls your site. If you stop posting regularly.
Google's entire deal is to try and index the entire web, right? So if you're changing your, that's why I constantly am on my soapbox preaching about frequency. We've had probably 100 clients over the last 15 years say, "Oh yeah, we're so excited to have a blog. We're gonna post all the time." And I've seen it happen time and time and time and time again, where they'll do 15 blog posts the first month, and then by month six, we're lucky to get a single blog post out of them. Well, we pretty much already, said everything that was cool. There's nothing else exciting. That's not really true. If you're in your industry and you know what's going on, we have plenty of stuff to talk about today. There's something new that happens in our vertical all the time. So find the interesting parts and write about it. Put your own spin on it. Talk about it. Try and find a decent key phrase for it. And even if the key phrase doesn't exist, doesn't mean that it won't happen. I really wish I would have saved the screen cap. Granted, it's about 7 PCs ago. I did coin the phrase SEO 101 when we started SEO 101. And we were search result 1 of 1 out of 1 search result in Google. That's kind of disheartening. But you do a search for today, I'm sure, well, let's see on my data center how many search results are. 6,620,000 search results now. So that's pretty awesome. And I've lost all my rankings because not paying attention to my stuff. That's awesome. Although SEO 101 training, I should mention that we put all of the videos that I got hired to do back in 2008 for SEO 101. They used to be sold for $97.97 online for years. Well, there I am. Not real good rankings there, but SEO 101 training, which is only 1.3 million or 1.1 on mine. We own second and fourth place, which is all right. Distilled, the guys at Distilled have been keeping it all up. We stopped doing that. Ross Dunn and John Caricut, I hope I pronounced their names properly, are now, they've taken over the SEO 101, and Brian Mark and Carolyn Shelby both have their own full-time gigs, and we haven't done a podcast since 2009, so that's kind of the thing. You stop doing it, you get forgotten about, and you lose your rankings. So, one other real quick thing I wanted to mention, too, since the PR Google PageRank bar has been discontinued, I just noticed the other day, because at our heyday, I think we were PR6, PR7, I can't remember. And then over the years, it dropped down because I was busy doing client work and not doing any work on my own site, you know, kind of carpenter syndrome. You go out and fix houses all day, you come home, you don't want to pull up a squeaky floorboard and fix it. I've been doing this crap all day long. Leave me alone, right? So,
right.
It slowly got forgotten about. Our traffic went through the floorboard, and we didn't have, you know, 20 people a week calling us saying, can you do this for, you know, X amount of dollars and blah, blah, blah. But now that we're back on top of it, it is interesting to see how quickly you can take care of some old 404s or several hundred 404s that used to point somewhere else and get your rankings back. We were, page 13. We went back to the first page within a day after fixing up our HT access with the 301 redirects. But, and I go off on tangents and forget what I was going to say, which is awesome.
Well, initially you started this to let our listeners know that the SEO 101 videos are now available on the site, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you ever really need that point, though. Okay.
Since the HTTPS is such a big deal right now, and we've talked about this in the last four podcasts. And by the way, folks, if you're not doing it, go and check some links from your Facebook or your Twitter and see what happens when you're in Chrome. It's going to say, whoops, this is a non-secure website. So the other thing I noticed about that, anybody that didn't previously have an HTTPS, unless my site just went to a no page rank, which for 3 years I had a PR4 after I really stopped working on it. But the big deal was, let's see here. Yeah. They all just page rank none because I wasn't HTTPS before. So if you weren't HTTPS before the cutoff, when they stopped doing PageRank update, and I could be wrong on this. I'm going to have to check this out a little bit more just to see. But it looks like they're counting that as a new one. So it's probably going to wipe those, and then you're going to have to start using the Moz rank. That's the closest you're going to find to the original PageRank. So while unfortunate, do what you can, get it moved over, and do well as soon as you can. So with that being said, we good on the content marketing?
Yeah. Let's move into bigger, better things.
Bigger, better things. Cool. So one of the things, and like I said, I feel really ridiculous not having checked this out previously, is the IFT, pronounced like gift. It's IF3Ts.com. It's completely free, and people have gone through and set up a bunch of different API calls. So there's 163 different channels that are available, and it's if this, then that has always been kind of a programming type of language, right? If this happens, then that needs to happen, right? So
right.
For those of you that are not developers, that's the kind of stuff that happens on the back end with PHP and HTML, et cetera, Cold Fusion, whatever your flavor of coding is. So they have all of the Android stuff is hooked into this. Even Best Buy's in here, Blogger, BuzzFeed, eBay, Dropbox, ESPN, Facebook Pages. So as a marketer, I'm looking at this, and if you follow that Neo blog on Twitter, you can see I've been trying to do a little bit of Dogecoin arbitrage. What I would ideally like to do, which is not currently available, anytime somebody retweets one of my, let's say I do a new blog post, all right? Well, hang on for a second. Do you know what daisy chaining is, Liz?
No, I am not aware of that term.
Okay. So let's say you had 5 10-foot-long extension cords, but you need a 50-foot-long extension cord to get the job done. You could, in theory, plug the first one into the wall and then plug the other 4 5-foot-long extension cords in and make up a 50-foot extension cord. That's called daisy chaining. Okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the idea here is, because we primarily work with a lot of WordPress websites, and we keep our frequency up by using the cron jobs on WordPress, what we can do is we can say, basically in if, you can go in, create an account, hook up your social medias, all your sites, your WordPress, if it's hosted or a WordPress-hosted website. There's a couple of steps you have to go through. It took me about 20 minutes to hook up all my stuff. I can say when my blog posts, which we've got cron jobs, so the articles are in place, they've been checked by multiple editors, we got some great pictures, we've previewed it, yada, yada, we set it to go out Tuesdays and Thursdays, noon Pacific Standard Time. That's our recipe. I don't care about giving that away. And part of that reason is because of Dave McGinnis, who started PR Web way back when. He ran a, well, anyways, that's why. So once our article posts via WordPress, there's a 5 to 15 minute delay on this happening. It'll go, oh, hey, they just posted a new deal. And then I have a recipe card that says, if my WordPress hosted website submits a new article, then please pass it to Twitter, to my Twitter account, which I also have hooked up through an API. So, and there's lots of programs out there that'll do that, right? But
right.
My second recipe card says, if Twitter gets a new post, please post it to my Matrix Marketing business page, right? And so from there, I can pass it to LinkedIn, I can pass it to here, I can pass it to there. Very nice. And there are, like Owly and Hootsuite, HubSpot, I believe, has a dashboard that will do this. This is completely free, something you can set up yourself. So while I see the value in all of that, and I've been testing it and tweaking with it for the last few days, and I really wish I would have been on top of this last year. I just didn't have the time. Other really cool stuff. And I got two of our devs working on it right now, really excited about it. But, and both of them have already worked with it, but they weren't doing it thinking like a marketer, right? So imagine this for a second. we manage multiple pages for large companies, national brands, et cetera, et cetera. If somebody comes on and likes our page, and most of those clients have Magento as their back end for their e-commerce, right? Which means mm-hmm. that we can create coupon codes, right? So, for example, I could create a Feb 10, meaning February 10% off. So you just came in, you don't know me from Adam, but you come in and you like one of my clients' branded Facebook pages. Within 15 minutes, you would get a message saying, hey, thanks for liking our site. Here's a 10% coupon for your next purchase. You know, what does that tell you from a social media site or from a social media standpoint? These guys are engaged. They know how to respond to people. I'm glad I liked that page. You might even go so far as to say, hey, ladies, if you really like this product, go like them. They'll send you a 10% coupon. You know what I mean? More social shares, all this other stuff. Completely free, will take me about 30 minutes to set it up, and I guarantee I'll get it down to about 5 minutes to set it up, you know, once I've gone through and done this a few more times. So that is really freaking cool, and I'm super excited about that. You know, this stuff works with Nest and all kinds of other stuff. If my, you know, one of the devs has been using it for the last year already as a wake-up call. He gets iOS and Android, and everything's all hooked to it. Sorry, Fabio, not sure about the BlackBerry. Not sure that's going to work out for you, but anywho, I always give him a little bit of junk about that. But IFT is very exciting. Hop in, play around with it, see what you can do. I'm working on some cryptocurrency arbitrage just to see if I can do it. It might be against the TOS. I haven't found anything that says it has or it is yet, but I will report back as soon as I know. And if it works, I can see a lot of people doing this. You know, back in 07, 08, I can't even remember, I wrote an article called How to Be a Twitter Rockstar, sort of. And basically what I had done was I was trying to get rid of, not attribution. Help me out here. I can't think. I feel like my brain's just not working. I haven't had enough coffee today. Not attribution. When people fall off. Oh my gosh. Not
car. Yeah, I know.
Oh my God. All right. So I'm not getting it right now. Anyways, the idea was when new people or new followers came on, the deal used to be if you hit Twitter's API limits daily at, you know, 2,000 new people that you followed, and you can get 10% to follow you back. You just got 200 followers, then you go through something very similar to unfollow me, and then just delete all the people that weren't following you back, and you could add 200 new people per day, 5 days a week. You know, you got 1,000 new followers per week. Great. Do that for X number of months, and then you're kind of a big deal on the internet, right? So what I did was, what is the term? And I know people that do this for companies too. They're managers that, this is going to drive me crazy. I will put it into the actual description when we're done. I just keep thinking attribution. I can't get past that mental roadblock. That's awesome. So the idea was to just say hi, not be intrusive, not try and sell somebody something. If you just followed me, Liz, for the very first time, and then you get a direct message saying, hey, thanks for the follow. Here's my free ebook and sign up for my newsletter and this and that. You get free links.
I delete you.
Delete, which 90% of the people do. So what I did was I created a very simple Twitter welcome video, which YouTube/Neoblog, I think, something like that. Twitter welcome video has almost 7,000 views. And it was just real simple. Hey, this is, I'm David Brown, a.k.a. Neoblog. I'm kind of a geek. I like golf, scotch, friends, family, blah, blah, blah. This is who I work for currently. These are the things I talk about on Twitter. Thanks again for the follow. Look forward to seeing you on the interwebs. Well, that took off. Thousands of other people did that afterwards. So, and it kept people because I wasn't selling anything. I was just introducing myself because a direct message via somebody that you just met on Twitter is so, from a psychological standpoint, it's so impersonal. It sucks, right?
Right, and so, you get enough of them, and you know that, you know, it's some automated message, and absolutely, very impersonal, almost spammy.
Right. Right. Oh, it is spammy. They're going out and hitting up, there's all kinds of stuff. We started Tweet, tw33t.me, Tweet Me, years ago, where you could go more in depth, and then all those videos could be there so that when somebody found you and they're like, oh, this is somebody I can equate to or relate with, they look cool. I'll give them an ad. Alex and I did that back in, well, right around the same time, 07, 08. Not exactly sure. I'm horrible with dates, but I can't remember who even owns that domain. We should probably do something with that again. That was pretty awesome. Anywho, long story short, engage your listeners, your readers, your viewers in any way, shape, or form. That's why we have the Ask a Question section on Geeks Roundtable, right?
Right.
Ask us a question. And a quick side note or a bit of housekeeping. Ryan's going to be busy here very soon during our regular time, and this bumps into Fabio's time. They're both in Eastern Standard, and you and I are in Pacific time zones. So we're probably going to move to a 6 p.m. time zone because we've all had shows in the past, and we get more live call-ins, things of that nature, more people listening to us live. You can call in, hit us up in the chat room. So that'll be coming up in the next couple of weeks to a month. As soon as we've got it all squared away, we will make an announcement and then we'll change it. We'll also have to change our intro. That being said, what else do we have to talk about today, Liz? Or did you have any questions about anything I just mentioned?
Well, no, I think you pretty much summed up my questions. I think there was something else that we were going to touch on.
Yeah. Google and Twitter.
The indexing, yeah.
Yeah. The
indexing
reunion.
Tweets. Kind of a big deal, yeah.
It is kind of a big deal. I'm excited for this. you know, and I was trying to explain to you too, because you haven't been in the industry for, you know, as long as I have, but years ago, when you'd build a website, people were like, oh, I don't know how to get Google here. I want to be number one. And I see this stuff all the time in the subreddit SEO and big SEO. Hey, I started my website 15 days ago. How come I'm not ranking number one? Do I need to do these directory submissions and these search engine submissions? No. Stop. Take a second and realize that a brand new website organically is not going to rank well for 3 to 6 months if you're doing everything right. At the end of 3 to 6 months, you should be ranking pretty well. If you're going into t-shirts, if you're going into insurance, if you're going into some of the very heavy trafficked areas, good luck to you. I hope you have a stellar budget. you know, again, years ago with GMHB, my 6 month contract, the only time I've worked for anybody other than myself in the last 15 years was for Get My Homes Value. And please don't hate me if you were one of the realtors listening to this that ended up using their services. When I came on board, they were spending roughly $75,000 to $85,000 a month on pay-per-click, and they had maybe 100, 150 unique visitors through organic search results. They
wow.
just had squat. Everything they built was an image. It left Google nothing to crawl. There was no content. There was no this. There was no that. Anywho, that was right at the same time that Vanessa Fox left Google. She's the gal that created Webmaster Tools, by the way. Thank you very much, Vanessa. And her very first job outside of Google was Zillow, which I'm sure probably a lot of you, if you've ever looked up the home value on a house, you've probably seen Zillow. So I had a six-month contract. Within 3 months, I got us to the number three spot, organically speaking, across 90% of the data centers in the United States. For home value, the singular, and home values, the plural. So the problem with taking third place is not only is it a bit of a knock to the old ego, but I was working with a $28,000 budget, whereas Vanessa and Caldwell Banker, who owned the first and second places, were working with multi-million dollar budgets. So everything is relative. If you're starting a new site today and going, oh, I got a Weebly site, and it's free, it's almost all Flash-based, and I know Google can't crawl that, but I want to be number one for T-shirts. Think again. That's not going to happen. But best of luck to you. Erase that from the drawing board and come up with a different idea, because you know, you're not going to take out a Walmart overnight for cheap this or cheap that or cheap this or cheap that. Walmart's got that stuff pretty well nailed down because they are T-H-E-A-P. So, you know, one of the things that you need to keep in mind when you're going after any of this stuff, SEO, pay-per-click-wise, we can get you into the game immediately. Bobby will tell you, yeah, we can get you up running just like that. Here's the problem. If Walmart's saying, you know, we're one of the largest companies in the world, we're going to pay $5 per click on this because we can still make a slim margin on it, and you don't have that kind of budget in play. Well, I've got 30 cents. Well, good luck being on page three. Less than 1% of the world is ever going to see you. So it's kind of like blinking in the dark. Only you know what's happening. Nobody else has a clue you exist. So this is where the whole creative bit with content marketing comes back full circle here. You need to be able to find a way. What sets you apart from any of the national major chains, right?
Right.
How can you do this? For us back in the day with Toolbarn, prior to other people figuring out, oh, long tail terms are freaking awesome. Yeah, they are. We can get you up here, and we can get you ranking for this. We can get you ranking for that. And these convert like mad. So let's go that route. Well, nowadays with SEO software being so affordable and everybody, I got about $50 a month to spend, and they're hiring off of this site and that site, and, oh, you should do this, you should do that. If you're serious about your business, sit down, write it all down. Have an actual business plan. This is what I want to do. Not, oh, I see T-shirt hell makes $8 million a year. I can make T-shirts. I have a screen print, right? Good for
right.
you, buddy. You might be able to do the local chapter of such and such. You're not going to be getting all kinds of business coming in. Oh, I got a Shopify account. I really want to do this. I really want to do that. Brian will argue with me on that. He still thinks there's some worthwhile parts on Shopify. I don't see it.
Yeah.
We can't 301 redirect or set up our own robots text or any of this other stuff because, oh, well, we want to keep it pretty simple for everybody. That's great. I'm not everybody. I know what I'm doing. This is what I need access to. Yeah, but if we give you access and we have to give everybody access, you're familiar with the X, it's a one-time Inc. 500 company. And then a two-time Inc. 5000 company that we're currently switching off of Yahoo. Yahoo web hosting and Yahoo stores, not only did they take 15% of your profit margin, it is ridiculous. Period. End of story. And it's funny, too, because the manager called the owner of the company, and I was sitting on a three-way with him, and this is what 100% of all of the top e-commerce companies in the world are using. Now, I know that this one employee at Yahoo that was flat-out lying to my client is not indicative of all Yahoo employees, but it was so far-fetched. It's like, well, aliens, I'm not saying it's aliens, but it was aliens, right?
Right.
They made this website rank better. It's just as plausible in my book. So, seriously, aliens made my website rank better. There's a title we could use for Matrix. What do you think, Liz? Let's do it.
Yeah.
Not saying it's aliens, but it was aliens. Yeah. So, some of the stuff and some of the things that you guys hear out there, it is completely crazy. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to say, hey, I heard this, blah, blah, yada, yada. What do we do? That's what the ask a question section is about. Oh, and by the way, we don't have the HTTPS on geeksroundtable.com yet. So when you click through to that on Chrome, it's going to tell you that it's a bad site. It's not. We're working on getting the HTTPS up on that this week. So the very last thing we had to talk about, which was on my list from earlier, is GTalk. And we got 4 minutes before the show's over, so I've got tons of friends, Bozer, Friesen, Baker, Lauren Baker, Todd Friesen, Greg Bozer, Tamara Weinberg, Barry Schwartz. All these people have been on GTalk for ages. I love GTalk because it's a simple, it's not like an AOL chat. And I always keep it over on the right-hand side. It's very easy to use. There's no stupid emoticons to screw things
FYI,
up.
FYI, I like
yada, yada. Good for you. most of the developers and programmers that I work with think that you're practically retarded if you use them. So, and I use them all the time, just out of happenstance. Well, not out of happenstance, out of habit, really. But Google sent us all messages. They sent them about 3 months ago saying no more updates will be had. I haven't seen an update in 3 years. And then we all got messages saying February 16th, we're shutting it down. You've got to use the new Apps Hangout. Ugh. I don't want to use the new Apps Hangout. I figured I'd pull it down, see how it works, and if I have to completely nuke all this stuff and jump onto Mumble, I'd do it. But what ended up happening, this is freaking awesome. You can add 3, 4, 5 people to a single chat instead of having to copy paste back and forth. You get these cool little floating heads that if you drag and drop it, pretty cool. We've got 90 seconds left in the episode, so I'll just leave it at that and say we'll discuss this a little bit more. If not, please send an email to googlewe'remad@google.com, and I'm sure they'll or Gmail,
yeah, right on that.
Rather. Yeah, right on that. So, we miss Fabio and Ryan today, but I do really appreciate you filling in for them today, Lizzie Brown. And
always a pleasure.
We'll have this posted on Geeks Roundtable and on the Matrix Marketing blog. And so for the Geeks Roundtable, this is David.
This is Liz.
That's where you say this is Liz. All right. We'll see you guys next time. Have
all
a
right.
good time.
Welcome to the Geeks Roundtable Podcast with Ryan Scherer, Fabio Caffaro, and David Brown. Join us every Thursday at 1 Pacific, 4 Eastern to learn all the geeky goodness from PPC, SEO, dev, design, security, and much, much more. Visit geeksroundtable.com today.